Well, good morning and happy Independence Day 2021. It is July the 4th and it's a lovely morning down east. And if my voice sounds a little hoarse and my mom is listening, don't worry, Mom, I don't have a cold. I just talked a lot this weekend and consequently my voice is a bit hoarse, but otherwise I'm hale and hearty and feeling fine and very thankful for freedom that we celebrate. Today is a day where a national holiday coincides with a Sunday morning, and that leaves me with an opportunity to speak into the nature of freedom and independence, not simply, again, on a national basis, as we are getting close to 250 years of independence from Britain as America, but as we get into the understanding of what that freedom means collectively, nationally, and also certainly spiritually, for the word has so much to say about freedom. And so today, I'm just going to open with this basic theme is first of all, we are free. I'm going to state that unequivocally. We are free. We're free nationally. We're free spiritually. But the deeper personal question is, are you? So we are free, but are you? And by saying, are you free, I'm going to raise the question, and I'm going to have us look in the figurative mirrors of our lives and say, what are we in bondage to? What are we enslaved by? What are we free from? What are we free for? What are we free to use those little prepositions as launch platforms for a reflective morning on the nature of freedom and independence from God's angle and God's perspective. As we begin, and we're going to look primarily today really at Revelation, and I'm calling it Revelation on the River because in about 2 hours I'll be at Griffin's Beach here in Washington, which is a lovely historic piece of land right on the Pamlico River, and we are going to gather as a church and as a community for celebration of the Lord's presence in our midst, and also to eat hot dogs and do what you do on the 4th of July and just kind of revel and celebrate a true holiday, which has deep meaning. But as we gather and look at Revelation on the River, Revelation will begin in one of the first 8 verses by saying, Blessed are those who read God's word, who hear the reading of this word will realize blessing. And I'm here to advocate, obviously, each week and beyond, that the reading of God's word brings comfort, truth, and ultimately freedom. So from God's word we begin this morning, July 4th, 2021, in the reading of Psalm 116. And just kind of sit back and let this permeate, marinate, wash over you a bit. And see if it doesn't give you language of praise, language of petition, language of transparency. The psalmist writes in 116, I love the Lord. Why? For he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. Why? Verse 3, the cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome with trouble and sorrow. But then I called upon the name of the Lord. Oh, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. The psalmist speaks to himself there in verse 7. And then back to his praise of God. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears. You've delivered my soul from death. You've delivered my eyes from tears. You've delivered my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I said, I'm greatly afflicted. And in my dismay I said, all men are liars. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of all his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I'm your servant, the son of your maidservant, and you have freed me from my chains. That's one reason I picked this psalm this morning, was this language of freedom. You freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you. I will call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. And let us praise the Lord for the hearing and the reading and the freedom to read and the understanding. This interesting proclamation of the psalmist who attributes his dedication to the Lord's rescue of him, and in the midst of a psalm makes statements regarding, you know, his frustration with the world, that all men are liars, that he's greatly afflicted. And there's freedom and transparency which I believe God's word invites us into. He invites us into freedom and invites us out of bondage. So we are going to look again at this whole concept of freedom in a national corporate sense, and certainly in a individual and specific sense. And today, as I open God's word to Revelation, let's think for a minute about what Revelation is, what that word means. We tend to think of the book of Revelation as a very sensational, and it is, glimpse at the end of days and at the triumph of the Lord over evil, and it is that. Ultimately, however, in biblical understanding of literature, Revelation is a letter. Now, if you've studied it before and you kind of are familiar with the flow, you know that the first three chapters have what seem to be letters, specific letters to seven different churches of Asia Minor, like Thyatira and Laodicea, Smyrna, Ephesus. However, looking at the big picture of Revelation, it is a letter to the churches. It's a letter to the churches, and it's a letter to our church today to give us what? What do letters give us? Letters give us encouragement. Letters give us admonishment, in other words, challenge, and letters give us insight, looking at big picture. And if this is a letter to the churches, what is the church? The church is, again, going back into theological understanding 101, ecclesia, the Greek word for church, was a people of God called out. So this Revelation letter, if you'll walk with me here, is a big letter which speaks of big picture, and we're going to look at it on a big holiday, July the 4th. It's about seeing, and Revelation means to reveal, and it's also about understanding. What do we apply what has been revealed to us? So Revelation is a revealing. It's a revealing. And looking at the big picture of the Bible, there are two types of revelation that are going on, and one of which is called general revelation, the general revealing. And if we're talking about God and revealing, what does God reveal us generally? Well, God reveals generally God's design, basically his map for creation and for the ordering of the universe and the ordering of the earth and the ordering of living beings. And we'll call it, for the sake of alliteration, that God's general revelation is, first of all, a map. It's also a revealing of God's majesty. When we're down on the river today, we're going to just, people aren't even listening to me. They're going to see God. They're going to see God in the river. They're going to see God in the trees. They're going to see God in the beauty of the blue sky and the thumbprint of not just intelligent design, but benevolent design upon creation. And the general revelation reveals God's might, his power. So it's a map, it's majesty, and it's might. God's power is unmatched, and the power within his creation. Folks in the Caribbean are experiencing that in a negative way today as another hurricane spins her way, Elsa, up through Haiti and Dominican and on to Cuba and on to Florida. And we see broken world and God's might and majesty and power all within the storm. So that's revelation as in a general sense. Revelation in a specific sense is in terms of God's specific people, God's specific purpose, and God's specific plan. And ultimately, that plan is for the freedom of God's image bearers to accomplish God's purpose. The freedom of God's image bearers to accomplish God's purpose. So, again, wanted to give you the Revelation 101, the general, the map, the majesty, the might, the people, the purpose, and the plan in terms of specific. And God's specific revelation is most manifest in the person of his son Jesus Christ, who came to show God's goodness, to show God's willingness for sacrifice, and to show God's holiness and his call to the people who were part of his plan and purpose, how we should then live. And this circles back to freedom. It circles back to freedom and how God frees us from, for, and to certain realities. So let me read from Revelation this morning, and I'm going to read at the beginning and read at the end. In the beginning of Revelation, we read this: the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to the servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Verse 4, John to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve God and the Father. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So that's Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. And the centerpiece verse for our understanding and consideration today is that we're attributing this to him who loves us and who is what? Because of his love has freed us from what? Our sins by his blood, by sacrifice. Not just waving of a magic celestial scepter or wand, but there was sacrifice in the freedom. And as we celebrate Independence Day nationally, we celebrate a freedom that was won in blood-bought sacrifice in the Revolution and many times besides, and is still being applied in many and varied ways. At the end of Revelation, if we're looking at the big picture of this book, And this is going to be reminiscent, and it's going to be easier to call this to mind at the river today. We see what the picture of the end looks like. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 7. Then the angel showed me the river and the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place." And then in closing out this passage for our consideration this morning, the red letter, Jesus' proclamation, "Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book." So once again, may God bless to our reading and our understanding his holy word. So Revelation 1 reminds us that we are worshiping the one who has freed us from our sins. At the end of Revelation, we see what the freedom that God gives us in eternity looks like, in community, dwelling with God, the streets of the heavenly Jerusalem, the river of life running through the city, with the trees of life on either side for healing of the nations, healing, wholeness, no more tears, no more mourning, no more pain. We are set free from the bondage of this world in the big picture sense, and given freedom in eternity. However, what happens in the meantime? For where we are now is in the meantime. We've been set free. What does that look like? How does that apply? So, freedom is addressed in several other places in the New Testament. Just in brief, a couple of passages which will illustrate God's heart for freedom. Peter writes this in his first letter, chapter 1, verse 16. He says, "Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live instead as servants for God." Don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. What does Paul write? So we've got Peter saying that. Paul writes this in Galatians chapter 5. "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." So don't use your freedom to cover up evil, and don't use your freedom to indulge yourself. James, Jesus' brother. So we've heard from Peter, we've heard from Paul, we're hearing now from James. James writes this in his letter to the churches in chapter 1, verse 22. He says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who intently looks into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, will be blessed in what he does." So what are we going to do with this freedom? What does God's word say? And we celebrate national freedom on July the 4th, and yet, are you free? So like James, I want to hold up the mirror to Jay. I want to hold up the mirror to you. Have you looked at the mirror and ask this? You know, what in a manner of praise, what are you free from? What are you free for? And what are you free to do? Free from, free for, and free to do. And are you free? Are there realities which are still binding you from the fullness of life which God has intended through His sacrifice, through His blood, through His Son? So I've got some thoughts here. Some of us have been freed from debt. We've been freed from debt, and we now, whether that's the debt of sin or the debt of financial burden, we celebrate that. Some of us have been freed from addiction. Addiction, we talk about it, we pray about it virtually every week. The shackles of addictive behaviors, whether it's in substance or whether it's in visual addictions or materialistic addictions. Some of us have been freed from anger. We've been given this sense of peace and grace, whereas for a season of life and perhaps all of our lives, we've been addicted. We've been enslaved by anger. Some of us have been enslaved by despair and depression. And have been given freedom from those. These are the benefits. Psalm 103 says, you know, "Praise the Lord and forget not His benefits." And His benefits are freedom. But the word, Peter and James and Paul, Jesus say, look into the word, you will find blessing, because in God's word is articulated the promises of specific freedoms which He offers. He gives us freedom from regret. We come to the cross. We come to worship, haunted by these demons of misdeeds and misactions and ruined lives and ruined relationships and great indebtedness, in a sense. And yet, what Christ promises and delivers on is a freedom from regret. Come and walk in my light. By His stripes you were healed. So what are we free for? Well, this kind of gets into a personal question as well. How do you interpret and apply your freedom as an American or as a follower of Jesus Christ? Are we free in order that we might pursue riches and materialism? We've been freed from debt so that we can pursue riches. Well, Scripture talks about that. Riches of grace, riches of eternity, or are we just simply pursuing riches of this world? He who dies with the most toys wins. We've been enslaved to addiction. Are we now free to excess in other areas, free to excess in our lives? And you can apply that how you will. Hold that mirror up to yourself. You know, we've been freed from, you know, from anger, perhaps, but are we still feeling like we've got this freedom for revenge and retaliation? I'm free. It's a free country. I can do what I choose. You're free from a enslavement or multiple enslavements. You're also free for how we choose to apply it. We've been freed from depression. We've been freed from regret. Are we now free for and able to be free for recklessness? Are we free to act recklessly? Again, the language of the New Testament is, don't use your freedom for personal indulgence. Don't use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Don't use your freedom for self-gain. Use your freedom, as James writes, Jesus' brother writes, use your freedom to serve, to honor, to love. So here's the challenge of how to apply freedoms. Hold this mirror up to yourself. We have been given, you have been given, a freedom to serve, a freedom to serve others, to take the freedom that's been poured into you and to serve others. You've been given a freedom to sacrifice. You've been given a freedom to, as Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, Offer yourselves up as living sacrifices. Test God's will. See the opportunities He has put before you. You've been given a freedom to, sometimes we take freedom just to retreat from the world, and we want to hunker down and stay away from the evils and the ills that are all around us, and that's a great temptation. But God's given us a freedom to experience Sabbath and to experience peace in the midst of the madness of the world. And He says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I've got it. Be still in the midst of what seems to be paralyzing mountains of fear and evil in our world, and find rest. You have been given freedom to save. You've been given freedom to save. You're an ambassador of grace. You're an ambassador of salvation. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was in bondage, but now I'm free. Exercise the opportunity on the basis of your freedom in Christ to offer that same invitation to others. You've been given a freedom to be sanctified. And again, getting into heavy church language here, but sanctified means to walk with the Lord, and increasingly, as Hebrews 12 reminds us, to cast aside that which hinders and so easily entangles. Part of the freedom is to fix our eyes on Christ and to lay aside those things which entangle. You've also been free, given this freedom to smile. I'm using a lot of S's here. Serve, sacrifice, Sabbath, save, sanctify. Freedom to smile, which means freedom to exhibit abundant life when the world around you may be paralyzed by fear. It is for freedom, Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, that Christ has set you free. What that freedom looks like, I'm asking you to finish this message. I'm asking you to apply. I'm asking you to agree with me that we are free. I'm asking you also to look in that mirror to which James points us and says, are you looking in a mirror and doing nothing? Are you having faith without follow-up? Are you exercising freedom for selfish indulgence? Are you exercising freedom for material gain? Are you exercising freedom to cover up the evils in your life? Or are you walking in the light of God's grace and acting upon the example and the invitation of Christ and those who have followed in His path to use that freedom to serve, to sacrifice, to bring the presence of salvation, and to sanctify? Friends, happy Independence Day. You are free indeed. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Receive anew the invitation of Christ at this crossroads moment to walk in the ancient paths and find rest for your soul. Father God, we give you thanks for a day to pause and celebrate independence. I thank you that the 4th of July coincides with a Sunday morning. I thank you for deeply personal freedoms, which I know are only found in you. And I would pray that we would all avail ourselves of your word, which is useful for encouragement and also for conviction, also for challenge, also for call to repentance, and that we might walk away from indulging our freedoms for selfish gain and instead use the freedom that you've extended to us to serve and to love and to honor the path of your Son. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.